To see everybody here today, it really is. We are talking today, by the grace of God, about several things. And what kind of spurred me on to this was during last week, as I had the opportunity to speak at the IGM's missionaries conference, and I was teaching the pastors, and something that was laid in my plate to teach them was the Great Commission to go and make disciples. And so as I was pondering on that this week, God wouldn't let me out of it so easily. So y'all are going to hear what they heard, pretty much, okay? And so the same but different, okay? Because I don't think I can preach the same message twice. And so, exactly. But we will be using the same beginning parts of Scripture. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20 is what will be our text, our main text for today. And this is a command. It's not a suggestion. This is the last thing that Jesus told His disciples just before He ascended up into heaven. This was were the last spoken words to a crowd that Jesus gave. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19, let me come over there with you. Verse 19 and 20. Well, actually, we'll start in verse 18. Because Jesus came and He spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth." Think about that little section of Scripture right there. How much authority? All of it. Jesus Christ has all authority. And John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And Jesus, in that prayer, what He prayed for the disciples, those who would believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that the same power that Jesus had, the same authority that Jesus had, would be given to those who believe in His name. Okay, so Jesus prayed that, "Father, as You and I are one, I pray for not just these who hear Me directly, but these who believe in Me because of the folks who they witness to, because of their disciples." Okay, now we're going to talk about this next little piece of Scripture right here. And this is what we're really going to focus on, this next verse right here, more than anything else probably for the rest of the day. The command, go. All right, go. That means don't sit in church. You've got to go. That means get out, do something, go. It's a command. It's a pushing out. You give birth and you allow your children to grow so long and then time to go. All right? You're on your own. Go. It's time. Get out of the house. I love you, but you've got to go. There's a place for you to go. There's something for you to do. And He wants you to know what you need to do as a Christian. And He says, go therefore. Why? What's the therefore there? Because all authority was given to Jesus Christ. And in John 17, all that authority has been given to you if you have trusted Jesus Christ in your Lord and Savior, as your Lord and Savior. So all authority is His. All authority is given to you. So go. Why? Because all authority is His and He has given it to you. Go therefore and do something. Make disciples. Huh. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? How do you make a disciple? It's not like Bisquick. You know, you open up the box, you pour this, you pour that, you stir it up, throw it in the oven, pow, you got pancakes. You know, well, it's not that way. There are elements to that because all the authority is in the box to make pancakes, right? Everything you need is in there. Jesus said all authority is given to Him, and now He's given you all authority to go therefore and make disciples. So what is a disciple? A disciple really entails two things. It means that there's a student and a teacher. Okay? You can't be a teacher if there isn't a student, and you can't be a student if there isn't a teacher. Now, all authority, all of the power of the Godhead is in Christ Jesus. And as you become a Christian, trust in Him, all of that authority is put in you, and you have the ability to make disciples. Not only do you have the ability to make disciples, you have a command from God Himself, who has all authority for you to go out and make disciples. It's up to the body of Christ for the body to grow. Sheep make sheep. You know what I mean? If the shepherd's making sheep, you got problems in the herd. Okay? It's sheep make sheep. You are the disciple. You are the teacher. You're to take the Word of God and plant it in you and go, ye therefore, and make disciples. If that means you need to go to South Dakota, and make a disciple. Well, praise God, that's where you need to go. But disciples are not made in the church. This is where we're trained. Discipling is out there. It's outside of the walls. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Don't hang out on the mountaintop with Jesus where he's about ready to ascend into the heavenlies. Don't hang out there because that's not where disciples are made. Disciples are made in the trenches, in Jerusalem. You got to go back there and wait for the power of the Spirit of God. And when you get the power of the Spirit of God, then you have the authority and you have the dunamis. It actually means dynamite. Dynamite. You got the power. The power is in you to make disciples. The ability is there. What we don't necessarily have is maybe the training. So where does the training come? Jesus said that he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us that the Spirit of God would lead us into all righteousness. Okay, all righteousness. And what is righteous? Nothing except for the Word of God. So the Spirit of God comes to indwell us, to empower us to make disciples as we take God's Word and implant it in our lives. Right? So that's how disciples are made. You got to learn. Okay, you got to get your Bible out and you got to read it. You got to read it not just like you read the daily news. You've got to read it like this is the recipe for pancakes. Okay? See, if you don't use the recipe for pancakes, you might have a round piece of flour stuff in your frying pan, but it don't taste like no pancake because you didn't follow the recipe. Okay? Jesus gave us a recipe how to make disciples. And so the recipe kind of goes like this. Well, we'll take it one part at a time. I was going to skip down and come back, but it's not good to do that. He says, go ye therefore, make disciples. And where are you supposed to make disciples? All nations, right? All nations. So, how many nations are there? What is all nations? There's approximately right now 196 nations in the world. Inside of that 196 nations, there are 16,445 different individual ethnic groups. And as I look this up on the internet, they have a pie chart. Pi r square. No, it ain't pi r round, cake r square. I don't know why they try to teach you that in school. But they have a pie chart. And it says how many folks are Christian, how many folks are non-believers, where the really violent places are, where the really suppressed people are in the world who never get the gospel or haven't gotten the gospel. And as they look it out, there out of the 16,445 ethnic groups, there are 7,000 of those ethnic groups that have never been reached by the gospel. And that's roughly about 42%. So about 42% of the full world has not heard or been reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as of 2010. That's when the thing was made. So as of 2010, 42% of the world have not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, man, that's tough to believe, ain't it? I mean, because we got a Bible in every pew. There's a Bible under every seat here. There's a Bible on every corner and every... You can go to Walmart. I went to Walmart and bought a Bible. You can get a Bible anywhere in America. All right? In America, you can get a Bible anywhere. How about the rest of the world? There are places, there are huge spots where the gospel has not reached because people are violent to it, because they reject Jesus Christ. And just there are certain places that people still don't read. There are certain places in the world that there's buzzes and clicks. I was surprised to find out that that in New York, there's like three or four places in New York that are under the red spot where the gospel hasn't reached. Okay, and that's what I said. And then when I looked, you know what was really cool? South Dakota. There's a spot, a little red spot, right there in South Dakota where the gospel has never been reached. It's where this Islamic group has come in and actually taken over a spot. Okay, and the gospel is not there. Why? Because Islamic people have come in. And really right now what we're up against is up against... We're not up against anything. God's in control. So don't sweat this when I tell you about it. The Islamic forces of the world are coming and they're doing something called caliphate. Okay, and what it is they'll come into an area, like they're coming to America, and they'll have 10 or 15 children. Okay, America has 2.3 children. I don't know where the 0.3 comes. You know, how do you get 0.3 of a child? Yeah, midgets. That's bad, but I love you for it. I'm smiling now. Short people. And so those are the 0.3, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, it's not too many years that they'll be able to outvote us. Not too many years from now, as those little kids grow up and they have the ability and the right to vote as Americans, they ought to have. Okay, but they will have their caliphate here, and they won't have to fire a shot across the bow. They will outvote our Constitution. They'll outvote our religious rights. They'll outvote everything that we have in the gospel as far as a voting thing goes. But they did that in China also, but that's okay because the Church of God still remains there. Doesn't matter what they do. What we need to do is exactly what Jesus said to do. Jesus didn't say, worry about this group or that group or the other group. When I read that through the internet, the page that I was reading, and they were explaining how all this stuff was going on, that's where I got all that information from. I remember that God said, go make disciples. God said, go make disciples. He didn't say, worry about this group coming in and outbreeding you. Okay, don't worry about that. Take those people and share the love of Jesus Christ with them, and the light of God will shine in their heart, and they'll come to know God. Make disciples. It's not an easy thing to do. It means that you've got to take something that God has given you and dump it out into someone else. School is starting. Okay, school's right around the corner, September 5th, right? September 5th, school starts. In Calmum, you'll find out that there is a huge group of folks who need discipling. They need Jesus Christ in their life. I tell you what, we got graduates right here in our church today that graduated from Calmum. And if you ask them, they will tell you that they need salvation. The school needs salvation. They need people in there that are Christian, that will stand up for Jesus Christ, and they need people to love them and bring them into a right understanding of God. Well, that's where you come in. That's your job. That's what Jesus told. That's the go part of it. You go. You go to wherever you're at. You go to your workplace and you make disciples. You go to your school and you make disciples. You go to college. You make disciples. When you leave this place, you don't turn off your light. You turn on your light. Okay? When you leave this church, this building, you go outside of this building and you start shining the light and the love of Jesus Christ to everybody. He said, go and show your light only to the people who are friendly to the gospel. Those are the nations, right? No. He said, go to the wild spot. Be radical. Go to the folks who hate God and show your love of God to them. Go to the places where the gospel is not accepted and you show your light to them. Where they say you can't bring your Bible, trick them. You're a student. Bring your Bible. What are they going to do? Kick you out? You have the right. If you can bring a Playboy book to school and be okay with it, you can definitely bring the Word of God to school and be okay with it. All right? They'll teach you that my mommy has two girlfriends or whatever it is that they're teaching kids to read today. So you, if they will bring that stuff, then you can bring the right stuff. And I'm not saying beat people over the head with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I am saying do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are set apart. You are called to go ye therefore and make disciples. You're called to make disciples. Now, how do you do it? Right? How do you make a disciple? Does anyone know? I didn't know. I'm still not real positive about it, but the Bible is. God tells you this way. God says that you teach them the gospel. You show them the love of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is simply this, that Jesus was born, that he lived a perfect life, that he died a real death, that he was buried for 3 days and then he was resurrected. Okay, he came out of the grave. Every other religion, every other religious leader in the world, when he dies, he stays in the hole. Every one of them. You know, if you knew where Buddha was buried, you could find Buddha's bones. They're there. They're there. They can be found. Jesus Christ, you cannot. The tomb was empty on Sunday morning. The tomb was empty. There was no body there. They could never produce the body of Jesus Christ because he rose from the grave. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and that's where he is today. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, empowering us that we can go ye therefore and make disciples. He is there in showing us through His Word how to do it, how to bring somebody, urge them along in the gospel to help them to know who they are in Christ Jesus. Remember, there's roughly 42% of the world that is unsaved. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? I mean, I was surprised that in New York State, that there's places that the gospel is actually shut down, that people are not being reached with the gospel in New York State. So you don't have to go to India to do it. You don't have to leave the continental United States to do it. You are within a car's drive. In fact, I'll even go wilder than that. You're within your next-door neighbor's drive. Okay? You know, you're within your next-door neighbor's drive. It's right there. There are people not looking at the ethnic groups, but looking at the individuals, because Jesus came that how many should perish? None. Why should they not perish? Because all should come to eternal life. They all should hear this gospel message. Now, how we present that gospel message is whether they're going to accept it or not. You know, because you show them the Bible and they go, oh, that was written by men, blah, 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 blah. Turn with me, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think this is like one of the coolest places in the Bible about making disciples and learning about that. 15, 12, 13, 14. Wow, one page at a time. You'll get there. Keep going. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, Moreover, my brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand. Okay? Catch this. It's the gospel that you received, but you got to stand in it. It's the gospel that was preached to you. That gospel. The gospel that comes from the Word of God. You stand in it. You set your feet in there, and you will not be moved from the truth, the good news that is in that. And this is the gospel by which you were saved. Praise God for that. If you hold fast to the Word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first all that which I also received. All right, and here's what it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, which is Paul, or Peter, sorry, that was, He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. And after that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, who the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, He was seen by James, that's the brother of Jesus, and then by all the apostles. Okay? And last of all, He was seen by Paul. Paul was the last apostle. Now, those are the folks who have seen it. And at that point in time in history, there were over 500 people, and the greater part of 500 people that saw the resurrected Lord were still alive at that time. Well, they're all dead now, okay? That was a long time ago. So if you take that and you show it to somebody and you tell them that Jesus Christ was born, that He was buried, and that He rose again, you say, well, at that time, 500 people recognized it and saw it. You know, well, that was back then. The Bible was written by man, right? Have you heard that? I have heard it. I've had to stand on my ground because of that. And let me tell you what they cannot deny. It's your personal testimony. Who were you before Jesus Christ was Lord in your life? Okay? Now, they can't take that away. They can't say that that's not real. You go back to who you used to hang out with and you say, here I am, this is Jesus Christ alive in me. I was this, I was lost, but now I am found. I was a sinner caught in all this stuff that you guys used to know me about. I was the guy who used to drink with you, party with you, have a good time with you. But now, Jesus Christ is alive in me, and because He's alive in me, all of that other stuff is gone. It's gone. Wow. Does that mean you got to quit? Yes. It means you got to quit. It means you got to quit that stuff that you were saved from, that you can't no longer live in that. Because if you still live in that, then was your salvation real? Did you really believe it? I mean, unless you believe it to the point of being baptized in the Word by the Holy Spirit, and actually there's two words I want to use here. One is converted and the other is regenerated. Okay? Converted means that here I was once upon a time, this is who I was, and now I'm converted into the likeness of the living God. That has changed me personally. It changed my language. It changed the way I walk. It changed the things I do. Everything about me from back then no longer lives anymore because I crucified it with Christ. And now that I am alive, but it's not me who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So now I know I am no longer like that. I'm converted. Regenerated is very much the same thing. Regenerated is all about baptism. Regeneration is all about baptism. It really is. There's the spiritual baptism that happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You die to that old person. Personally, I don't know too many folks who came from the dead, you know? I really don't. The Bible talks about some folks that came from the dead, all right? Yeah, that was there, that was then. Praise God that they were able to do that, you know. I'm not able to do that, but everybody I know who died, you dig up the grave right now, they're still there. You know, there ain't nobody floating around. You don't see skeletons in the closet. Anyhow, stop. That's my gift for the brain I have. As I said that, oh, yeah, you can have the skeleton in the closet. All you got to do is hang them there and wait for their rot. But stop. Anyhow. You can't go there. Jesus Christ regenerates you. You die to your old self, and then you are born again, regenerated. That means this picture of baptism, that's what we're getting to, because what he says right after that is, after you make disciples and you make disciples of all nations, and then there's that baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, okay? So look at it closely. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 that we just read, and look at that closely. Okay, Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died for my sin. And as I accepted that, whether I accepted it or not, it happened. And as he died, he stayed in the ground for 3 days, and then he rose out of the tomb. He alone came out of the tomb. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, but I freely lay it down." That's a type of salvation. You know, God doesn't take your sin from you. You lay your sin down. You lay it down, and then he scoops it up. He resurrects you from that old, dead sin nature. He pulls you out of that and helps you to stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not that you can do it. Man, if I could lay my sin down and then pick myself up, I'd be all right, because it's all about me when I do it, right? But I can't do it. I'm willing, but I'm not able. Christ, Jesus was willing and he was able. And then he empowers you to teach what you know to a lost and dying generation. You are a light set on a hill. Do you know that? That you are a light set on a hill. When you say that you are a Christian, you are a changed individual. All the old things are supposed to die. And if they don't die, then did you really surrender to Jesus Christ? And when I say die, I don't expect you to walk perfect, because you can't. No man walks perfect. No man is perfect. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there should be a heart change. There should be a change in your heart when you accept Jesus Christ as your life. The things, if you stole, then steal no more. And if you do steal, do you feel bad about it? You know, because before I was saved, I would do something wrong. I'd say, yeah, I got it, man. That's me. Woohoo! I did it. I'm the man. I got over on you. But after I accepted Jesus Christ and I would do somebody wrong, it's like, my goodness, that's nasty. That's dirty. I recognize it. That is sin. That's sin in my life, God. Man, I'm sorry. Help me not to do that again. That's the difference between regenerated and not regenerated. Just because you say a prayer doesn't make it so. Okay, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that follow the prayer, repeat after me. You know, and you've heard that, and it's been said, repeat after me. And repeating after me doesn't mean anything. Are you dead to the old nature? Have you accepted Jesus' payment for your sin debt? And if you accept that in your heart, then the Holy Spirit comes in and he starts to sanctify you and change you from who you were to who he wants you to be. It says that we are being conformed daily into the likeness of Christ. Daily. When's the last time you felt the unctioning of God telling you, stop that? Stop that. You know what you did? Shame on you. You ought not do that again. If you have that, then you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have that, if you don't feel, that lie felt good, instead of that lie felt bad, then I would seriously check your salvation. Have you really trusted Jesus Christ? And see, if you're living in a sinful lifestyle and you try to make disciples out of that sinful lifestyle, they're going to call you a hypocrite. You know why? Because you are. Because you are a hypocrite. Because you are acting Christian and not living Christian. Okay, anyone can act Christian. I love that Holiday Inn Express commercial. Yes, I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at Holiday Inn Express. And that thing, to me, I think that's hilarious to me. Every time I see it, I giggle. Not that I see it that often, but I have seen it before because I know it. But so just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you pay your tithe doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you said a prayer when you were 9 years old doesn't make you a Christian. Have you started the walk of sanctification? Have you truly trusted and surrendered to Jesus Christ? When you truly surrender to Jesus Christ, then Jesus says, go. Go. You don't have to have a doctorate in the Bible to teach the Bible. But you do got to have the Bible. Okay? You do got to have the written Word of God living in you so that you can express God's love to a lost and dying generation. You've got to have it. If you don't have it, when people ask you questions like, where did the dinosaurs go? Were men and dinosaurs together? Do you know that that's answered in the Word of God? That it is? That yes. And this is sign language for yes, if you didn't know. Yes, it's my little puppet, yes. I'm a dinosaur. And so, anyhow, yes, it did. Yes, it was. It was. It was real. Yeah, I'm decaf. You ought to take decaf. And so, Fred Flintstone was not that far off the key, because ancient man and ancient animals lived together. They did, okay? But you got to take the biblical view of it. You can't go by millions, billions, and trillions of years of bloodshed. You've got to take it for what the God said. He said He made everything good, okay? Sin came in and messed everything up. The Bible says that everything was a vegetarian, nothing ate meat. There was no death until Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, death entered in. Okay, sin is missing the mark. The payment of sin is death. Okay, you can't have it without the other. But it takes a perfect sacrifice to cover your sin. Well, how did that happen? God Himself, over the millennia of time, ever how long it took from Adam's sin till Christ's birth, God came and He put His righteousness in human flesh and lived among us that we might know Him. Okay, that we might know God in a real personal relationship. And why do we need to know God in a real personal relationship? So we can go, ye therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. I don't know who needs to be saved. I really don't. But I do know that God says that there's a predestination. Okay, He knows who it is. I don't. So that means everybody I see with two legs and ears and eyes and a mouth and a way to understand, it's my job to explain to them that Jesus Christ loved them and died for their sin. Not only did He die for their sin, He didn't just hang on the cross. He came off at a cross. Okay? He came off at a cross. He rose again to prove that He was God manifested in the flesh. No man could do that. Jesus said, I lay my life down, and if I lay it down, then I'll take it back up. You got to take it back up. You got to be regenerated. And when that regeneration comes, that is an inward thing. How do you express that openly outside? I love this author. I'm going to show you the book. Another way you don't. It's called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth by Clarence Larkin. Okay? I love this book. I really do. And he is a Bible teacher. And so what I'm going to read to you now or preach out of now, it is the Word of God, but the pictures that he puts in here, the word pictures and stuff, I really like. And he starts out with Romans 6, 3 through 5. Know you not that as many as you who were baptized and baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? That Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. All right? For if we have been planted together, planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his we shall also see him and be like him in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, and as his death, so we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So what he's picturing there, through Jesus is dying and being buried in the ground and then coming up, that is a type of baptism, being baptized in Christ. Jesus Christ was baptized in a dirt. He had a dirt baptism. Okay, now we can't take that walk and come out, okay, with him. So we have an outward expression of the inward belief, and that's called water baptism. Okay, now as I was doing the internet, all right, I was looking all over the place. I felt that's why I call it internet. Someone asked me that today. Why do I call it internet? Because when I get on it, it feels like I'm everywhere. You know, I'm going everywhere to find this one simple little answer. Where is it? So it's all over the place. So anyhow, as I was looking at it and I was looking up baptisms and stuff, you know, there's a lot of different types of baptisms that people do. You can be sprinkled. You can have a little water dumped on you. You can do it when you're a baby. You can do it face forward. I never heard of that, being face dumped, face planted, you know, and then come out. Yeah, I never heard of that until I read it, but there is a religious sect that says that you need to be buried and face up and that. That's not scriptural baptism. Sprinkling is not scriptural baptism. Do you know that? Because was Jesus sprinkled with death? No, he was dead. He was buried in the ground. Now, when we bury somebody, do we bury him face down? No, you don't. You bury him backwards, right? Face looking up. So when we baptize folks, that's what we do, is we take them and we immerse them underwater, just like you're buried in the ground, and then we lift you up. And this is an outward expression. You already believe that Jesus Christ did this in your life, and you are set down in concrete with this. Now it's time for the rest of the world to know it. It's time for everybody to know it. It's time to come out of the closet. It's time to come out of the dead zone, okay? And really start living like you believe what you read. Like you believe, like you are indeed a child of the King. Like you believe it enough to make those adjustments in your life. A lot of folks get baptized because they say, well, it's the next thing you need to do. All right, it is the next thing you need to do, but did you do the first thing first? Okay, did you do the first thing first? Did you get that regeneration from the inside? Were you converted on the inside, or did you just go and get wet? There's a lot of wet folks out there that think that they're saved because they got baptized. Or they think that they got saved because they said a prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. If you said the prayer and you meant the prayer, then God did. He came and He entered your life. But there should be fruits in your salvation. You should look like a Christian. Okay? Just because I go and stand over at Sparky's Automotive over here, that doesn't make me a Chrysler. Okay? I can stand in his garage all day. That doesn't make me a vehicle. I'm not there. That's not who I am. I can come to church all the time, but that doesn't make me a Christian. Okay, what makes me a Christian is the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. As I die to myself, as I die to my sinful nature, and I'm raised again in the likeness of God, then I ought to start living like it, folks. If you ain't living like it, then do you really believe it? Do you believe it? If you ain't living like it, then you don't believe it. Then you're making God a liar. Because you're saying that you are a Christian, that you're baptized, that you are one with Christ, and you're living in a sinful lifestyle. God is saying, liar, liar, pants on fire, and more than you know, pants on fire. Because Jesus said in the Revelation, I prefer you to be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth, and I'll cast you into utter darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dude, if that don't make you quake in your pews, then it ought to. Oh, I hear the pew rattling now. You know? And so you got to know that you know. You got to know it to the point that it makes a change and a difference in your life. And if there is no difference, then you need to go back and check. You need to go back and check. Did you really believe what you read? When you accepted it, did you die to yourself for that? And if you did not die to yourself, then your baptism was nothing more than getting wet. It's no more than taking a shower. Dude, Baptism is you coming out of the closet and saying, I am a Christian. And now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to live like Christ. I'm going to walk like Christ. I'm going to love like Christ. And if need be, I will die like Christ. Jesus said, Paul said, you've got to bear your cross daily. That means every day I've got to die to Curtis Fitz's wants and wishes. Every day I've got to learn to die to this flesh, to what I want to do, and live for Christ. Because it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Am I willing to make a disciple? Am I willing to come along beside somebody who hasn't bathed, who hasn't brushed their teeth, who is a leper, who has AIDS, who is a homosexual, who is a prostitute, who is a drunk? Am I willing to come beside that person and love them like Jesus Christ loved them? That means you've got to die to yourself. You've got to be baptized in the Spirit and come out like Jesus and love like Jesus loved. Live like Jesus lived. And if need be, then die like Jesus died. Now, there's not too many here in America that will crucify you on a cross, but they'll crucify you at work. You know, and I got testimonies right here. When you stand up for Jesus Christ in your senior year, you're going to lose all of your friends. You know, but praise God for that. You know what? They weren't your friends anyhow because they were friends with the world and you are friends with God. God says, I no longer call you a servant. I call you friend. You're a friend of God. And if you're a friend of God, who cares what the world thinks? It's the world. It's dying and going to hell. I don't care what the world thinks. What I care is the folks who are stuck in the traps of the world, who are incarcerated by Satan himself and are caught in the snare of Satan. And Jesus gave me the power to make disciples, which means I have the power to set them free from the bondage that so easily besets them. How do I know I can do it? Because I was caught in the snare way back where. I know what it's like to be drunk and can't get sober. I know what that's like. And then I know what it is to grab a hold of the lifeline of Jesus Christ and be pulled out of that sinful lifestyle. And I live now because of that. I live sober, praise God. Man, I am a sober preacher. Woohoo! I may sound drunk time to time, but I'm sober. You know, but I'm sober. I ain't touched a drop in a long, long time. This baptism, this dying to ourselves, this being dunked under the water, is more than just a water thing. It is showing a world. It is showing people. That's why I like to, when we baptize, and we haven't done it here except one time over at the Schramm's house, but he sold his house and his pool too. And so so what we're looking for is we're looking for a place. And not only am I looking for a place, but I'm looking for some Christians who are tired of living the way that they have lived and are ready to make that open confession of Jesus Christ. And I want to do this in the public square, okay? I don't want to do it in a church somewhere. I want to do it where the world will see that we are Christian. That the world will see. It's a public announcement. Okay? In India, I got a picture of the Voice of the Martyrs over there somewhere, and they baptize people in 55-gallon drums. Okay? It's pickling. Boom. You know, well, that's what they have. Okay? And they do it that way because when you get baptized over there, your house gets burned. They'll come down with tractors and shotguns and M16s or whatever weapons they have. They'll haul you out of your house and cut you up with machetes. Okay? They don't like it. They don't like it at all. So they've got to do it in private and quiet. Well, we live in America. And we as Christians in America, we ought to be proud that we are Christians in America. We ought to be standing up and screaming it from the housetops that I am a Christian. And don't do it and jump into your bottle. Don't do it and run back and say dirty jokes. Don't do it. Don't do things that defame the name of Jesus Christ. When you make that announcement, you stand on that announcement and you kill me. I'm a Christian. Go ahead. What you got, dog? I'm ready for you. Bite me on the leg. It doesn't matter because I'm a Christian and I'm willing to die for my faith. I tell you what, a homosexual is willing to die for his faith. An atheist is willing to die for his faith because they're doing it every day. I don't believe Jesus Christ. He is dying. And the Bible says a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So not only are they dying, but they're dying idiots. You know, they're foolish because there is a God. And you are made in the likeness of God. Look around. You ain't a monkey's uncle. Okay? You're not. You are not made in the image of an ape. You're made in the image of a living God. And He loves you, and you are wrapped in His love. And we're to take that love and that image and pour it out into a lost and dying generation. I don't know where you're going next week, but I want to know, are you baptized? I want to know, are you baptized in the Spirit? Is the Spirit of the living God alive in you, fervent in you, making a burning in your soul where you're willing to come out and say, this far and no further, world, I belong to Jesus Christ? If you haven't been scripturally baptized in water, we're looking for a spot. And if we, when we find a spot, we're going to need somebody to get wet. Okay?
My pool's green, but...
Oh, shock it. No. We could do that right over here at the Genesee. It's the same thing. Oh, why do I need to dunk three times in the Jordan? I have cleaner rivers at home. Oh, well. Anyhow, I don't know where we'll go, but God has a spot for us. Okay? It may be over at one of the Great Lakes or Finger Lakes over here. They're nice, clean. You know, and you know, kind of what we did over there at the apartments. We go over there, cook hot dogs, celebrate Jesus Christ with some folks, do something like that. We'll find a place and make a day of it. And we'll come out there. We'll have our Sunday service out there, and we'll party like it's 1999 or whatever it takes. I don't know. We'll come out there and we will celebrate our Christianity, just like the Gay Pride Parade. All right, they want to walk out in the Gay Pride Parade. Well, let's walk in the God Pride Parade. Okay? How about that? That's a neat idea. Let's. This just came to me. I don't know. You know yeah, yeah. I love you. Anyhow, to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and if it takes black and white rainbows to get the rainbow back, I don't know. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So I got to ask you this. Are you saved?
Yes,
you're saved. Praise God. We got one person that's saved. Can I hear two? Can I hear two? Three. I got three. Three. Four. Four. Do I have five? Five people that are born again, proud of it. Are you proud of it, Greg? Are you showing it to anybody? No. Okay. Are you... Are you proud? Are you willing to get out and show the world that you are indeed a Christian? Were you scripturally baptized? If you were scripturally baptized and you've been living like the world, are you ready to be regenerated? Are you ready to do it? Okay? Not just to get wet for a show, but to get wet for the dough. Okay? The dough of Jesus Christ. The thing that really pays off. Going to the places where the streets are paved with gold. Baptism does not save you, but it is an outward expression of your salvation, your trust in Jesus Christ, and your love for God. It's a command. Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. I got to teach somebody? Yes! You got to teach somebody. After you get baptized, after you make that public confession, then you're to come out of the water, dry yourself off, and teach somebody about Jesus Christ. You show it in your lifestyle. You show it in your walk. You show it in your love. You show it in your talk. You show it to somebody. There is enough closet Christians. It's time, guys, let's get out of the closet. Let's come out of the closet. Let's be proud that we are born again in Jesus Christ. It's time to start making a show. It's time, and now I don't mean a show like the Pharisees did, you know, pounding on your chest. Thank God I'm not like you guys. No. What I'm talking about is coming out and being willing to die. I am willing to die to myself that I might bring some to Jesus Christ. Paul wrote it like this. I've become all things to all people that I might bring some to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no greater knowledge than to know Him. You say you know Him, but do you show like you know Him? I mean, no one here and no one here is two different. It's only 6 inches, but there's a world of difference between the two. You can have the knowledge in your mind. There's a lot of religions out there that knows Jesus Christ was born and he is the Son of God or God the Son. They know it. They know that he died and he rose again. And in fact, they thank his mom for it all the time. Okay? They know all of the truth of the Word of God, but when it comes to salvation, they turn. And they go to a church, or they go to a religion, or they go to this, they go to that, they go to the other. That is not regeneration. That is sealing you back up in the tomb, and nobody's come out of that tomb. Their Jesus is still on the cross. Our cross is empty because Jesus came out of the tomb, and he showed us how to resurrect and the newness of life. You can have a new life. God has paid for it. He's bought it. You got the house. It's already been built. In my house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to get you, I come back to fetch you. If I go to prepare the place, I'm coming back for you. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. Are you prepared, church? Have you been baptized? All right? And I'm not just talking getting wet. I mean, when you were baptized, who here has been scripturally baptized? I mean, actually dunked. Okay, after you were actually dunked in the water, how's your life been? Okay, and this is between you and God. It has nothing to do with me. That's something that God asked me to ask you. Okay, how's your life been after you've been baptized? Was it really rebirth or was it a lie?